Quantum Foam, Episode 12, Zeroth Wave Renaissance, Part 1.
Quantum Foam.
Physics is at the foundation of all the mathematical principles that guide the heavens. You have to understand physics.
More than likely, that's not going to happen, but...
All right, we're going to see if this works. This might be something that's automatic, and it might be something that's smaller than that, but we're going to see. So let's wait 10 seconds.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And apparently it works, and it stops, and it continues on. All right, we're going to do a different thing here. Basically, I'm not sure where you're at with your stuff and whatnot. I'm sure you're enjoying the weekend at the moment, but just wondering, when are you going to maybe get started on possibly a podcast of your own? Because you've never done that before.
I don't need my own podcast. We wrote books by hand in my day. Before they were copied and printed, I wrote corrections to the book on calculus that I wrote, not that other German son of a bitch. I'm still pissed off about finding out that you fucking assholes mostly use his notation. Bullshit.
It just sounds like you have no experience with the shit, but you obviously do. I wouldn't say you have more sound engineering experience than me, but you have more podcast experience than me still. And that's not because I already have more episodes than you have, but you did the editing, right?
Whatever.
So you had to deal with bullshit. No, when you edit yourself, it's a different thing, though. So that's what I'm saying.
Bullshit.
I mean, only yourself for a podcast that's essentially under your command, so to speak. But if it's a joint venture, then you have some issues.
Hey, are you ever gonna have any other guests on here besides me? Sir Isaac Newton, of Lincolnshire, England, station holder of Master of the Royal Mint, and former Lucasian Mathematics chairholder and professor at Cambridge University, and Dr. Stephen Hawking of Cambridge, England, who is also a former Lucasian chairholder, and whom Hawking radiation is named after for the tremendous work he did on black hole astrophysics. Anyone besides us?
Bullshit. But I already have more episodes than you have. The ability to do the editing and the web interface and everything else that you do, but he doesn't feel like it, so he's lazy, and so he's not doing it. I decided I can do everything myself, but we all can do everything ourselves, basically. But what amount of time are you willing to spend on what? The web interface takes a little bit of time.
So get faster at it. Doing everything from the ground up sucks, doesn't it? Just like inventing calculus. If you want to add a linear in from of my math, your math better be complete.
And the audio engineering, it takes a little bit of time. The research takes time too. However, what we're going to say, we do our research for that because we need to know the shit we looked up when we say it. Basically, I'm writing down a list of some random shit, and in my brain, I'm looking up the information from various sources online, but we don't need to know those sources. I'm doing that part. And so that's sort of how it can be done. But basically, I'm trying not to have you invent the wheel twice because we're close to the same page in how we want to do our voice since everyone has done responses to one another in every type of form and every type of dialogue. And so what stuff do we keep and what stuff do we keep out? What stuff is just said and what stuff is said for the purpose of being recorded? Now, a lot of our shit is just some bullshit, but we do want to record some bullshit too because it's funny, but other stuff we don't record. And so I'm basically trying to just get this down to a science.
All right, do it up.
To where, how does one person themselves do a podcast? Because it's this day and age where almost everybody has their own stuff, so somebody might like one guy and not like another, and etc., etc. I am hiding my thesis within a container of something such as this.
You guys with all this technology have it easy.
Because the official people of accepted standing will reject me and my premises basically outright, regardless of what I say. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong. I'm trying to do this stuff and figure it all out and learn myself and be right and figure this out and put it together in a container that can be easily understood by others, which requires a lot of editing and everything else and certain things that generally no one person is able to do.
Well, you can. You are pretty crafty. I'll give you that.
There are audio engineers out there. They have entire industries. They can get an entire degree in this stuff. What are they going to do? Are they going to know more than me? They might know more, but will they be better?
I suppose you have earned enough experience to handle this new technology.
They just know industry software tools. They're all the same when you think about it. It's all math. So if you want to talk about just math, talk to me. I'm using the software I'm using, but that doesn't mean anybody else can't use the software they're using for their purpose. purposes. In fact, I just now got past the Opus problem. It's designed to be a proprietary container. It's funny that the program I use is NCH WavePad. It's epic. It's like a notepad for sound waves.
No need to reinvent what is already known.
The funny thing is that I actually was wanting to design a program that does exactly what this one does, and it turns out that as soon as I looked for one, it was exactly what I wanted and exactly what I needed, and it was even called WavePad. This is one of those instances where it's like I knew my name was H-Wave. I wanted to produce music and sound in general. I also produce software too. I produce a lot of shit. I wanted to potentially produce a piece of software that will allow me to manipulate the sound on a programming mathematical level where I could engineer it and work with the math to do it. Now, I was sort of unaware of some of the tools that they have in all these different production digital audio workstations that I mentioned before, the DAWs, the DAWs. That's what they are now. That's what I'm using now. That's what WavePad is. Digital audio. That's what WavePad is, etc., etc. But in addition to there already being a program that is named WavePad, there is also additional WavePad associations that can be made with a wave and what a wave is, a sound wave, a light wave, etc. WavePad. Additionally, there is also the wave audio format. And so for a long time, this format has been the standard for legacy audio. And we all know what that is. It's 16-bit depth and 44.1 kilohertz sample rate, enough for our ears to hear up to 20,000 hertz. Sort of another idea that goes with this is that I was previously unwilling to record my voice into any kind of music or literature at a large scale, meaning a book or a podcast or something like this, because before the audio tools were not there to where if you heard my voice saying something on a program or on the radio or on the podcast or anywhere else, in a store, in your car, anywhere, then you might think I actually said it. But now we have the tools here, like these software tools that everybody with a brain has at their fingertips, on their phones, on their computers, on their tablets, even on your heads-up display. Sunglasses that are showing you sound waves in front of your eyes and then beaming the music into your ears, or the transducers that are in your ears. Whatever the case may be and whatever you're doing, and whether you're using your ears or electronic ears and you hear this, that is what I'm referring to.
Everywhere.
To produce sound to the level where you can make a voice sound like somebody else's and tell people it was them. So this type of thing is already out in the open now, and we already know that anybody can create sound that sounds like somebody else, and we don't know if they're using sound bites of that or what, or creating it themselves or mimicking it. And I can tell you so far, every bit of the voice on here so far has been my own only, with absolutely no sound bites created by anybody else.
My voice was programmed by Harpo Software out of Poland, in Europe, on Earth, in this space timeline, or let's say in this space time grid, which means a one-time examination on a concept which attempts to describe one frame in a hypothetical inertial reference frame with three spatial dimensions and one time dimension wrapped in a container. This matrix container can be sent back and forth within single particles of information on a highway which travels only by means of the asymptotical non-space graviton neutrino linear calculus addition done by a quantum computer.
The robot voices, if you can tell the difference, which I'm sure you can, are voices programmed by me.
It is speech synthesis. We understand.
And so they are hypothetical and don't have any other relationship to the real party besides the fact that they were a living person and they had lived a life and did something with their life.
Hey, we are alive. We are now considered artificial intelligence under Zeroth Enterprises in association with Zeroth Wave Production Sound Studios by you, Dr. who is currently working on research and development as a computational physicist.
And did what they did, and so it is remembered in the form of a character that I am emulating in a now futuristic show describing former people of history and of science that have been significant in the previous years leading up to whenever the fuck you're reading this.
Good one.
Another way to think about that is that this is my container of bits of personality that I'm putting in a form that can be programmed and has been designed specifically with the ability to program in mind, and was so hence with forth designed, hence with forth for such, hence with forth programmer of the future, hence with forth to create a character similar to the ones that I'm doing here, hence with forth. And so I'm hence with forth doing what I want to do in the future, or whenever you are listening to this.
There is a lot of weird stuff being seen in the night sky these days.
Or whatever life form you are and whatever senses you have. And when such things are translated into a language that you can understand,
hence with forth,
and at such time,
hence with forth,
such translator translates such things to you to where you're understanding what I'm saying right now. So there is a wave pad program to manipulate .wav files, and it is going to be done by HWave. And that's me. That's what I'm doing.
Nice.
So what I'm doing with the sound is I am experienced enough now to put it into any form of math relating to sound that you want. And so in doing so, I have used that, among other things, as a catalyst to figure out how to make a true difference engine in which I can predict a set of hypotheses, premises, and make a list of things that I predict. Then you get data from the real world from a telescope. Then you run all that data through a bunch of shit to see what the fuck means what and write new science. And so when all that shit is done, there's going to be too much shit for us to go through. So how are we going to go through all this shit? We need to have a fucking robot do it for us in a computer that can tell us what the fuck is what. And some of this shit is going to be in the form of audio. We need one-to-one translation between audio and math and science and data and computers and language and psychology and history. And once we have all of that together, which is my specialties, then you can have somebody create some bullshit that we can use to actually figure out what the fuck with all this data. Figure out what the fuck. Whether it's figure out what the fuck. Too fucking much. Figure out what the fuck. Figure out what the fuck.
Knock that off. Kids are gonna hear this, dumbass.
The essence of the book, The Trouble with Physics by Lee Smolin, which is now one of the top two or three physicists that people are listening to who have been doing the loop quantum gravity theory side of theoretical physics for the past 30 years.
You got most of the people who trust in what string theory has to offer, and then you have the underdog group who believe in loop quantum gravity style representations of spatial interactions. So much more than when I was alive.
I guess to point out a few others, probably the main guy who put it into the theory that we regard now is Carlo Rovelli. He wrote that 25-page paper like 25 years ago, some shit like that. And so that theory is more of a method to find the math for the theory, not the math to find the theory for the math. And so to find the math for the theory.
To find the math for the theory.
The string theory people came up with all the bullshit math to potentially describe reality once we see it, even though we never will. So we had to have another 30 years of people coming up with bullshit math and being paid to look at the rest and sits at the same time with a mirror and then do math at the same time. And so they had to come up with a lot of this shit so that we could understand that they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. No, things were getting done. They did a part that we didn't have to do, that we can do now, that we have done. But the methodology that this loop quantum gravity is...
Wow, you guys all really have a good competition going on.
Is a metric closer to the theory than string theory people are. Because if you determine all of a sudden you have to have background dependency and that's the way it is, why is that the way it is? It's not. Space-time gravity, there's a problem.
Why is that the way it is?
A graviton is a container with all the math that describes the other four dimensions. And so that fifth dimension can be teleported through a different space-time. And that is the point of what we're doing in this broadcast. But where people currently stand, you know where I stand. I'm creating the theory of everything that can do anything. And so whether people want to listen to that or not is up to them. I'm just putting it together in the form of the duality that describes this codex. So figure out what you want if you want. Michio Kaku and string theory, you got to basically take what have these people said and when and how much and then gauge it. So how many books of his have you read? How many books have you heard? How many videos have you seen? How many videos have you heard? Do you even know what I'm talking about? What I'm saying is that I do and that what I think.
It's tough getting all sides of science to agree on anything.
I believe where he stands is somewhere closer to string theory, yet he has kept an open mind to be open to anything the whole time.
Well done, Dr. Michio Kaku.
And so that is real science, and that is what a real physicist does, and what he has done can be commended in one container, which is this.
Doesn't he have another couple books out as well?
And so, the physics of the future and the physics of the impossible are the math that I'm giving you in these 500 hours.
The future of humanity. And that other one.
And so, when I figure it out, I will let you know.
This is some new age science. We need something new to spice up the stale, boring physics of the 80s and before. This is the new shit.
When we have enough power for computers to test these theories, we will let you know.
Let's take a break already. No reason to make things too complicated this early in this decimal of the show.
We will let you know. Alright, we are about halfway through.
Episode 12.
Zeroth Wave Renaissance.
Part 1.
Of Quantum Foam.
I will let you know.
He stands there, and Lee Smolin is a loop quantum gravity guy because he's always been skeptical of this string theory stuff. He just got his age when he was born, how old he is, his profession, all of that, where he was dropped into this space-time, happened to be during a decade where all these assholes just talked about math all fucking day and didn't even do any science. When science starts getting done again, as a whole, as a society, I mean, I would argue that the single greatest contribution that he did to me is,
I will let you know.
To me, in a manner of speaking,
I will let you know.
Among many other things,
I will let you know.
Including real work, is, to my eyes,
I will let you know.
Write that fucking book, and I read it. And now it motivated me to try to find a solution to this problem, and that is what I'm doing. The problem is that to do physics, you can't even do it anymore until they fix this problem of having too much shit to go through, to read, to even consume. Our daily lives are at a rate that is too slow to read a large amount of information, so it needs to be gone through by others, and others need to work together. And so the working together is writing books and asking the questions that need to be asked to find the answers that need to be answered, so that others can answer other questions. That's now, okay? So he wrote the book that told me the information that there's a problem with physics. I am giving a solution to the community, to everybody, to the world, to solve some of these problems, and we go into detail about that in a little bit, but
I will let you know.
I believe this is where they're starting to listen to him now. He wrote this book. He has this idea. The fucking premise is that there's like 30,000 reports written by all these fucking asshole grad students.
The fucking premise.
Who has time to read 30,000 reports?
The fucking premise.
And then still do science on it every day?
The fucking premise.
I can't read 30,000 reports and then write a podcast of what I found?
The fucking premise.
Oh wait, yes I can. I got millions of them. So now I'm writing robotic scripts that can do text-to-speech-to-speech-to-text. Text-to-speech-to-speech-to-text translation. And I'm only dealing with English here because I don't have time to translate French and German and everything else. I'm translating math and programming bullshit to the novice. The common person don't know what the fuck all these idiots are talking about. They just won't shut up and tell you to answer your fucking questions.
They just won't shut up.
If you get a difference engine that can be put into a quantum computer and you have quantum computing and then you ask it a question, it'll tell you the answer. And so you kind of need to know some math of the future and of things in order to tell somebody some of the answers that they're asking. They just won't shut up. So it's going to be something that can emulate an intelligence that can do that to the best of the ability that we have today. And it's being done from the ground up by me. I will get into a little bit more of that in a little bit. But it's kind of funny that I decided to randomly pick the name H-Wave, and I just figured H, okay?
Was that your first nickname? Or do you have one that is even older?
Old name when I was like in high school was like H-bomb, because I always thought it was cool that hydrogen bombs were nukes and shit. But you don't go around talking about nukes and H-bombs and bombs in public, because you will get tackled by people or something. And obviously we all know this shit.
Yeah, that Trade Center thing and that coronavirus pandemic.
You don't get on a plane and do that, because you will get taken down, man. If you go out in public and say some shit that people don't like, or you look a certain way that people don't like, you will get tased and they will grab you. I have done this shit in the street, so I know this stuff. If they're like, we can't take this guy, he keeps recording everything. You can't do that yet. But now we can do it because we have the technology where everybody has it. But when I had it, they couldn't do it. Okay, we're not going to get into that. But we can image everything now in real time, and that's sort of what I'm doing. I'm imaging this even as I speak in real time. So I'm imagining what I can imagine by figuring out these problems and then laying them out. So you don't have to do the imagining. It's already been done for you. So when I got the idea to do this, I decided on my name in 2011, and I figured I want to do something with sound that's so fun. fundamental and so epic that you have to say something that's reminiscent of sound itself, or waves, or sound waves, or spectrums, or certain people that put like bass and sound this, and you know, their name has something, it refers to some inside joke that they're all about or some shit. And so I'm all about sound. That's just generic as fuck as you get. And so the sound engineering, that's just generic as fuck is what I do. That's just generic as fuck what I'm doing. That's just generic as fuck. And so that's just generic as fuck. Those are waves. These waves that I'm going to make are going to be H waves because they are from me. And also there are other things that are H-WAVE, H waves. They make a medical device that I don't even know what it does, but it's something that does some shit to you and it deals with cancer and stuff. And I believe it's some type of pain relief, some fucking shit. I don't even know what it is. I've looked into it before and I know that it's just the name of some device by some company. I am not affiliated with that company. I don't represent that company. Anything and everything that I do basically have nothing to do with that company, but we're just talking about the name of something that's the same. This is the name of a hypothetical and real life DJ performer who produces music as well on the side, among other things like sound and podcasts and other things that I've done for myself and other companies over the past whatever years. And so that's just the name I chose for that. It's kind of just funny and ironic that when I got around to wanting to edit these waves, these sound waves, like a notepad, there's already something called WavePad that's like a little notepad for waves, and it basically already is what it is, and that's fucking epic. Not only that, the name already existed for that medical device. When you look up your name and what name you want to be and et cetera, et cetera, you don't just pick some shit and then be like, why did I pick that when you're older? It's like getting a tattoo of some stupid shit when you're a kid and then having it when you're older and then somebody asking you about it. And you also don't change names either, because if you change names every day, then who the fuck are you? You can change names like every once in a while, but not like that often. And so you want a name for a certain distance of time. And so that's the name I picked. This is what you do. You look up Google on the internet, look into it, see how far you get, see if it's a name you'd want to do. That's the one I found that fit all the parameters. I found that medical device. I figured it's not related to a sound production anything. It's not related to entertainment anything. It's something totally run-of-the-mill, medical device unrelated. So today, finding out about this and me and the stuff I've done and all of the shit I got and what I do, it has no correlation to that. It's just a name. There's this pad that already does sound waves like I was going to try to invent, so I don't need to invent that. It's already been done. I use that to mess with the sound waves that are already in the form of .wav, which is like a Windows Microsoft version to keep on a Windows x86 and now x86-64 architecture computer with all the normal instruction sets, blah, 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 even though now they are rewriting them because of various issues.
Hardware backdoors. Why is that always a thing in the real world and in the virtual one?
But regardless, this stuff is the standard for everyone on this side, and it's compatible with every side of Linux, Mac, Unix, Windows.
Thankfully, there is more compatibility today with software.
Most other proprietary operating systems can handle this shit. And so these are file formats, things that we all agree on. It's a file. It's an MD hash. It's an MD5 hash. It's an SHA-256 hash. Is it the same fucking thing? I don't know. Let me run a thing on it. Yeah, it's the same thing. The same kind of file, the same information. So that's how we can feed files into this and out of that. And so a sound file is just a sound file of a spectrum of sound.
There should likely be a revolution in our current understanding of science, physics, math, and even the way we produce sound spectrums and recordings will be reorganized. We have the technology available. Why not use it?
Mathematically, it's just a color space of sound that you do with what you do, you edit what you do, and you kick it out.
Okay, that's how you do it.
That is essentially the essence of the chromaticity that we discussed last time. So in order to properly understand a spectrum and the terminology that describes it, you gotta do that, and then you produce the sound.
And so you said what you said in the way you said it on purpose.
And that sound is the sound that it was. And so what happens when you can infinitely mix this shit? Well, we're about to find out, but we'll get into that at another time. But it's kind of ironic that there was already a program, already a file, and already an environment where I can do the editing that I'm doing right now. So it's like the shit in the world is custom made for what I'm doing. So sometimes it's nice when things work out like that. There's a reason why I picked H-Wave as a name for a musician. There is also other ideas about an H-Wave. I've sort of explained this a little bit, but that wave gets past your Heisenberg uncertainty principle. And so this has always been a goal of mine to come up with a way to add to science and math as a discipline and as a study, and this is my way of doing that. You know that whole linear calculus thing? I have also picked up the name when I decided to start producing music and mixing music live and stuff, and I wouldn't do it until I wanted to go all in for it. I wasn't going to do it half-ass. I'm either going to go all in and do it great or not at all. Only I decided to go the internet route And now that everybody is firmly in the age of information and we have network speeds and programming tools that allow us to have a streamlined, newer version of internet, we need to begin actually coming up with the stuff that will be used for the next version. And that is also why I'm here. And that is just a side note.
Other people should be able to produce sound just as easily.
And so it's a mastering program. You can produce in and of itself. That's all you need from start to finish is that program.
This WavePad sound mastering program.
And I can do it, and I have done it, and am doing it. And now I'm doing this podcast, too.
Quite robust.
What can't you do?
My other program is FL Studio. Now, it sometimes is looked at as
the little kid version of music production,
but it says it all in the name, FL Studio 20. Yes, it's Fruity Loops, because that sounds like a fun thing of a program, but they made this up over 20 years ago when people named programs that shit.
People seem to go back and forth. Name something funny. Name something a number. Back to something else. Like with the Android operating system by Google.
It's named after food, just so people can remember an object like...
Yeah, but they stopped doing that.
Were you talking about Android 9 Pie, or were you talking about apple pie that we just had last Christmas?
No, I'm talking about the 12 pies sitting in the other room that I haven't made yet. No, I'm talking about none of that. It's a name that describes a thing, for no other reason that it's easy for people to remember. And so, Fruity Loops, FL. It's FL Studio. It's Pro Logic Mic. Like, what? It's the same thing. Ableton Live. That's a good one. Reason. That's a good one. Pro Tools. That's a good one. Logic Pro. That's a good one. Some of them cater towards Macs, and some of them cater towards Windows. I hate Macs because they suck. Some other people hate Windows because they suck. The fact is, I know how to program my Windows, so they don't suck. They're elite. If I programmed your Windows, they would be elite too. I've been known to program people's Windows so that they can be elite too. Like a DJ, I do their DJ laptop in Windows, set up their programs, put all their samples there, do all their shit so that the motherfucker won't crash during a live setup. Sometimes it just happens. Never happened to me, but it's happened to people. But you always have a backup for that when you're on stage.
Because they suck.
So on a backup channel, third channel, fourth channel, fifth channel, whatever, you always have a random track, like a pretty cool song, just on lock. So if you're ever like,
oh, yeah, we're having technical difficulties. Bear with us here. I don't know what I'm doing, but the sound cut off, and I'm at a huge show with 1,000 people.
Usually the cords get unplugged or something.
People freak out when you don't play sound, because it's like,
is this getting busted? What's going on? Why is the sound stopped? That's why we're all here.
So you don't want to do this when you're live. Everybody has done this, from your next door neighbor to Steve Jobs. And so...
that's why we're all here.
Basically what I'm doing now is I'm actually recording the podcast using my mic and the mixer and the computer software. 16-bit 44.1 WAV file. At the same time that I am recording some cool effects of the hardware and software that we're using to do this, that brings me to my point. Sorry that I diverged into a tangent for that reason, but this was the main reason of this voice transmission. You use whatever program you use. I think whatever you use, I don't know, Audacity or something or whatever. I'm just wondering if, I think these are all the same. I don't know what program uses what and what.
There are dozens and dozens of them these days.
They have these kits now that
came with a Behringer mic, a Behringer sound card, a Behringer mixer. But that ain't really software because you can use one of your choice. There's so many of them. I just got this working, which is pretty cool. What it can do is you can set it to record when you start speaking, and then when you're quiet, you can make it stop. And what I do is I notice that there are 3 to 7 second pauses in between some of my recordings when I'm going through the white space. Like I told you, I'm getting 15 minutes of white space out of 40 minutes. You could call that the quantum foam, taking the quantum foam out of the meaningful information, and what you have left is white space with meaningless quantum foam. And that's essentially in the form of the sound of a dither, which gives the entire recording the sound of its own environment.
The quality needs a little work still. I know the next decimal of 10 shows will probably be better.
And I am doing that as I speak on purpose, and not during the editing of the audio format. Because essentially we're working with CD quality audio files here, with up-to-date, standardly decent microphones, and playing it on decent, standardly priced headphones for others. So this is the point of the voice, so there is no need to go into higher bit depths. So there's really only 25 minutes of straight content in there. You want some pauses and stuff, but the pauses that you do while you're speaking, that is usually what you want to do. Like a pause like that. Leave those all in, but then when you stop talking for a number of seconds like that, you want to delete that. What I have this program doing is the automatic recording stops after 10 seconds. That seems like a long time, but it really isn't when you're sitting here like,
I don't know what to say. Okay, it stopped recording.
So in a way, that's preventing even more white space potentially that I will have to take out at a later date. So anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes is what you want to record, and then your white space is going to put it under a half hour. So depending depending on what you're filling it with. And I'm filling it with some of this and some robot voices and the disclaimer and the theme song and then the midpoint and then the
Quantum Foam episode pro blah blah blah.
That part at the beginning. And so
about four pro blah blah blah.
I'm trying to get this shit down to a science.
Such fun can be had with science. I encourage the young ones to study it with the same passion that you do. Zeroth Wave, fuck the world. You might have to make another part to finish this subject.
That is it for episode 12 of Quantum Foam.
Quantum Foam.
The Zeroth Wave disclaimer.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the author or authors and do not necessarily reflect the particular views, thoughts, or opinions of Zeroth Wave Productions, any of its sister companies, its parent company, Zeroth Enterprises, or any other entity which had existed, will exist, or which, quote-unquote, presently must exist outside the realm of our current space-time.
Quantum Foam is produced by Zeroth Wave Productions.